This is Who's Talkin' with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobbo Hobgood on Fox Sports 910.
Hey, welcome back. People are going to think Hobbo's my middle name, you know. But at any rate, Hobbo and Frank back second half hour. Who's Talkin' tonight? A little better mood this week with a W on Saturday against Syracuse. We've got Dr. Vince Dalton on hold. I saw Dr. Dalton in a professional way late last week, since I'm one of his better patients.
Well, you know what? He's probably never seen somebody that needs two hips, two knees, and two ankles. You might be the first.
That's right. I always feel good. I'm just thankful I'm not a horse, because they certainly would have shot me by now.
Just kidding, everybody. All right, we love Ortho Virginia. They were formerly West End Orthopedic. They're one of our founding sponsors, and Dr. Vince Dalton has been a frequent guest on Who's Talking. Vince, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Very good. Well, there's not much injury news this early in the week. Although I was at the game, I only saw what I would call a minor concussion scenario where Albert Reed took a handoff in the middle of the line in the second overtime, I believe. He was helped to the sidelines and then off the field just as a precaution, but I'm told today he's fine, and apparently he was fine on Sunday. Malcolm Cook, a former safety who converted to outside linebacker, has an upper extremity issue, and he has been ruled out for the rest of the season, joining Ryan Dahl, Calvin Epps, Jake Filer, Andre Lavrone, Javoni Simmons, and Eric Tetlow from Richmond. So it's a fairly long list of players that are out for the rest of the year, Lavrone being probably the biggest name there because he was a starting wide receiver. With all that said, I was wondering in our phone call that we had earlier today, Vince, what sort of things are you seeing in your practice today from high school and college age athletes in terms of their sports injuries?
Well, I would say that the most common thing that we see on a daily basis is the run-of-the-mill sprained ankles and this kind of stuff. And most of the sprained ankles, we just need to make sure that there's not a fracture. They rarely need anything special done, or certainly rarely need anything surgical. Certainly, we see a lot of shoulder injuries, AC separations, collarbone fractures, and then a fair number of knee injuries. You know, I know UVA's had at least one or two guys with some back issues. I would say that for anybody out there that's got a teenage athlete that's complaining of recurrent back pain, that should raise a flag. We shouldn't normally see kids with back pain. Certainly, we've all sprained our back on occasion, but I think anybody with recurrent back pain certainly deserves an evaluation and get to the bottom of that, because that would be an unusual complaint in our young teenage athletes.
You know, Vince, Virginia, T.J. Thorpe, he came back from a collarbone clavicle situation. Frank doesn't like me mentioning it, but the quarterback down at Virginia Tech, Brewer, he also had a collarbone thing. It seems like these football guys really, do you see that with some high school kids too, with injuries to the shoulder collarbone area?
Right. When you get, particularly the smaller players, when they get grabbed by these big guys and just get thrown down on their shoulder, they're either going to get an AC separation, which is where the clavicle connects to the roof of the shoulder there and just pops up, and that's a very painful thing, but usually doesn't require any kind of surgery and usually heals up. But when they break their clavicle, I tell you, that's a painful thing for those of you that had a broken clavicle. Usually we don't need to operate on them, but I tell you, you can feel those bones crunch for a couple of weeks until it starts healing up.
Unfortunately, I know all too well. I suffered a broken collarbone in my right side playing lacrosse when I was at Virginia. And I can tell you something right now. I'm in awe of how quickly T.J. Thorpe has come back from that break that he had, which he suffered in practice, of all things, bouncing off the turf trying to dive for a football in practice. But Amazing stuff. We want to thank you, Vince, everyone in Northrop, Virginia, from Jody Smith to everyone. You guys have been wonderful to us, and we thank you. And we'll keep you apprised of further injuries as the university lets us know. And thank you tonight.
All right, Stanley, thank you for having us.
Have a good one. All right, we're waiting for Terry Gates so we can jump and pivot to basketball.
Talk a little hoop here.
Yeah. How about this basketball team?
There's a level of optimism, and it's justified, and I think Mr. Gates is calling in right now, so it'll be interesting to get his take as we look forward to the season beginning here in another couple of weeks or so.
Right around the corner, Hobo.
Yeah, Terry Gates, I assume you're on the line?
I am. You know, now that you'll have me.
Well, you're always welcome here on Who's Talking. But he's a man that needs no introduction. Played back in the 80s on the Final Four team with Lamp, Raker, Sampson, the golden era of Virginia basketball.
When I was in school, Hobo.
Well, that was a long time ago. But the golden era prior to now, I think we may be entering
this
into
this is golden era two.
Yeah, golden era two. Terry, what's your assessment of the upcoming season as you look at the team and the competition that we face?
Well, you know, it's certainly the pieces to the puzzle are in place. You know, this is the second year in a row we've had to replace some, kind of the heart of the team with Justin Anderson and Darius Atkins. And the year before, of course, it was Joe Harris and Nikhil Mitchell. And that was really the toughness of the team. And, you know, both those years we ran into a tougher team and on the way to trying to win a national championship. So, you know, once again, we're kind of in the same boat. We got a lot of nice pieces in place, and we'll see what happens. But, everyone's excited. It's I think the coach is excited. The players are excited. The fans are excited. And sometimes those expectations can catch up with you. But I think if this group is done remarkably well the last 2 years.
You know, it's interesting, Terry. The Wahoos have had two 30-win seasons back-to-back, and virtually every prognosticator, publication or individual blogging out there has Virginia anywhere between 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 in the nation. Did read a highly critical article from a fella today that someone sent me. And I thought they were sort of fishing for, you know, doom and gloom when there really isn't any. Let's face it. Mike Toby, Anthony Gill, Malcolm Brogdon, and Evan Nolte are seniors. So that's a 7-footer, a 6'8" player. Brogdon is 6'5", and Evan Nolte is 6'8". So those guys, they know Tony Bennett's system left-handed. They know exactly what's expected. On top of that, you have the point guard back for his third season in London Parentes, and he's the smallest player in the top 12 guys that will get into the game, and he's 6'2". So you've got a tall team, you've got an athletic team, you've got an agile team, and you've got an experienced team. Where do you think what are Virginia's three top strengths as a basketball competitor that potentially could reach the Final Four?
I mean, there are three top. Well, certainly their top strength's got to be Malcolm Brogdon. I mean, he's got experience. He likes the ball in his hand. He's the leader. He makes this team special. I would say, as you just mentioned, Frank, the experience of this group. So we get back to you mentioned four people or five, but Nolte probably is not a starter. I wouldn't think. You know who is the fifth starter and. You know, the straw that kind of stirred the drink last year was Justin Anderson, and he was a special player in every stretch of the imagination. And who's going to take that slot? Who's going to give this team an identity? Justin always had that smile on his face. I think he lightened the entire team up with his personality. And do we go back into more a business-like approach, and that's good, but I think everyone enjoyed having Justin out there and doing the things that he could do. So, Malcolm is your number one, and I would say the experience in, I just think that the system, I think these guys expect, they go out there and expect to win, but they will face some teams out there that physically and in from a basketball perspective, you know, are just as good. So it's a matter of how you execute and a matter of how you, you know, keeping you within your system, play within your system.
Yeah, certainly, you know, Duke and Carolina, the usual suspects, are looking to have really outstanding basketball teams again this year. Terry, and we're speaking to Terry Gates, former Cavalier radio analyst as well as Cavalier player back in the day. Talk to me about what you perceive to be the impact on Virginia of the change in the shot clock from 35 to 30.
You know, well, I think it may help them because I know we all sit in JPJ and sitting there, why did you just pass that shot up? Because, you know, you're going to possibly get it to somebody who is not as good a scorer as you are, and this could be a Malcolm Brogdon. So it may force some of the more talented players like a Malcolm Brogdon to maybe take that shot, you know, with you know, only 22 seconds into a 30-second shot clock to say, hey, I'm with this cast of characters on the floor, these players on the floor, I'm the best option we have, and I need to take that shot. It also might help a Mike Pobey who at times hesitated. I just saw an article where, you know, he said his first year he caught the ball. If he was open, he shot it. He didn't worry about anything. Well, then you start worrying about some things, and you miss a few. But, you know, sometimes when you're open, you know, what is a good shot when there was only 15, 20 seconds in a shot clock? You may not get a better shot than that. And I think this team is talented enough where they need to take probably some earlier shots in the shot clock scenario where they are good shots.
You know,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but the funny thing, I've been frustrated at times in the past where they have gotten a defensive rebound and I thought there was an opportunity to push the basketball and they didn't do it and they walked it up the floor. But it sounds like from some of the press accounts that this summer they really have been working on transition offense and trying to push the ball up the floor a little bit better, which I think will be helpful.
Well, when you look at the possibilities of this fifth starter and you look at Adarius Thompson, you look at Emeril Shayok, Devin Hall, Isaiah Wilkins, those guys, they like to run. You know?
Yeah, they're athletic.
That's what basketball's about. They're athletic, and they want to get up and down the court. Now, I'm all for getting easy baskets, and that makes, you know, and that I think it improves your defense because you normally you get easy baskets. You got a steal, you got a rebound, and you were in good positions. You forced a bad shot. And I think they have the athletes to go up and down the floor. And I would think everyone loves to do that.
So let's remind our listeners, because basketball seems like a long time ago, basketball season anyway, besides the four veterans and London Perentes, Darius Thompson, the University of Tennessee transfer, a lot is expected of him. Devin Hall has shown a lot. I've seen practice videos, and he is dunking the ball in half-court sets. He's 6'5", and he goes right to the hoop. Emeril Shayok, the key here is, will he shoot a little bit better this year and give Virginia a little bit more perimeter of a perimeter game? Isaiah Wilkins, 6'8", he should be able to give some more scoring and maybe some much-needed muscle down low to take the place of Darian Atkins, who has moved on. Jack Salt is a strong, muscular player. And, of course, Jared Reuter, the newcomer, probably will get some play time this year. He's 6'8 and 245. So
maybe limited. Terry, I mean, I think this is a team that doesn't have a whole lot of apparent weaknesses, but if you were looking at Virginia as an opponent, what would you think might be a weakness of this basketball team?
Well, is it going to be too much reliance on, you know, Malcolm? I mean, he was a leading scorer last year, 14 a game, and I think, you know, Justin might have been the leading scorer before he broke his finger, but I think he slipped down to about 12 points a game. Obviously, Anthony Gill, he's your third option, but, you know, at 6'8", 230, teams may have an answer for him. You know, at 6'8", you might have a 6'10 kid on him. So,
yeah, I'd like to see him square up on that free throw. I was never a big fan of the side saddle free throw.
You know what? If he makes them, I don't care if he stands at midcourt.
Right? Well, when we were playing, I think we were pretty much perpendicular, but I think they've all opened up a little bit just for ease of motion. But you know what? Once a drill sergeant tells you how to shoot it when you're in the eighth grade or whatever, you kind of get that way for the rest of your time. But I think Gil is—he needs to take a half a step forward as far as wanting to score down low, and Mike Toby might be the wild card this year. Does he take a one step forward or a half step forward, or does he get frustrated? This is a senior year and things aren't going well. Everybody wants him to be a certain player that he's probably never going to be. He's not going to be the big banger. He's got a nice frame. He's probably gained 40 pounds since he's been here or more, but he's more a finesse player. So. Can he step up and provide, consistent minutes and consistent scoring for them?
Terry, first game of the season is Friday, November 13th at home versus Morgan State. Then UVA goes on the road to play at GW, George Washington, on Monday, November 16th.
And by the way, meaning Who's Talking, will have a live broadcast from Fridays at Broad and Glenside at 6 o'clock on November the 16th, and we invite all the fans to come and listen to the broadcast and stay at Fridays and watch the game, which tips off at 7:30 on Monday, November the 16th.
Should be a lot of fun. Terry, we want to thank you for joining us tonight, helping us kick off basketball season, and I think it's a great thing that you and Jeff Lamp and some of our other basketball alumni did with regards to the Ridley Scholarship event down there at the Historical Society. So good job.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to jump to our last break, and then when we come back on the other side, we'll sort of handicap the upcoming games this weekend and talk about next week's show. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.